You're listening to the Clear Creek Resources Podcast from Clear Creek Community Church, located in the Bay Area of Houston.
Welcome, everyone, to the Clear Creek Resources Podcast. I'm Rachel Chester.
And I'm Ryan Leighton.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope is that this podcast helps us to better connect with the people of Clear Creek and to continue our conversation beyond our weekly worship services. So, Ryan, we're back. We're back meeting together, and it's been so amazing. It's been so fun to be together and to sing. What's been your favorite part?
I've loved just being in a room with other people singing songs together. Even though we're wearing masks and we're distanced out, there's just nothing like being together in person and singing some of these songs. I mean, it's an emotional experience that I think a lot of us forgot in a lot of ways. And so just to do that again has been an amazing experience.
I completely agree. I know you sat down with two of our worship leaders recently and talked about some of that.
Yeah, so I talked to Eric Harding, who leads worship at our West Campus, and JJ Cole, who leads worship at our East 96 campus. So just talked about what the last 7 months or so have been like for them as worship leaders and how their role has changed, and really the whole arts team, how they had to adapt. Some of the projects that they worked on during that time, things that they have been able to exercise some of those creative muscles in them in the meantime. And one of those is an album that they put out really directed towards a student and children ministry called True Love. It's a 3-song EP that's available on Spotify and Apple Music, all places you would listen to music. But we got to talk about why they created that, how that has been received by students and children, and just a great conversation with two guys that I just love hanging out with and hearing their perspective on ministry and worshiping God, not only in the worship service, but really in all aspects of life.
That's awesome. Let's listen.
All right, JJ, welcome to the podcast. Eric, welcome back to the podcast.
Hello.
Hi.
Glad you guys are here. All right, you're excited?
I'm very excited.
A little nervous, but yeah, excited is another word for it, sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so we're here to talk about music, but before we get into that, I want to know what's the last 7 months been like for you personally?
Ooh. I don't know. I enjoy change somewhat. As like an Enneagram 7, I think I enjoy when things change up, because I like the freshness of just like your routine changes and all that. And I think that I can die in routine a little bit. And so making new rhythms of just kind of like, I mean, like just, okay, the simple fact of going to my desk at the office and basically just taking all that stuff and moving it into like this room in my house, you know, I'm like, ooh, where am I going to put stuff? Like, you know, just like even that kind of thing. That's like the physical indicative act of what the last 7 months was like, you know, just kind of going, okay, there's just no rules on just your day sometimes. It's like, here's all the things that still got to happen, but they're just going to happen in this like whirlwind of whatever. And so that, you know, for, I think for a lot of people that can send them into a tailspin. And for me, I'm like, oh yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I can relate to that, especially at first. Did that get tiring as it went on?
No.
Okay. No, see, for me, I'm like, I like the newness, but then it was like, all right, I would really rather go back to those old routines after a few months, it got old.
Yeah. I think as long as things are getting done, I don't know. I enjoy just keep finding like new routes to get to the same place. Like I found new roads to get here, and like I saw different stuff. Cool. That was awesome.
All right. Yeah. I guess you're a true 7 on the Enneagram.
It's like, absolutely. If there was ever a true 7, it's Eric Harding. It's
very fun.
Yeah. I'm quite the opposite. I thrive in structure. And so I think the last 7 months was, the initial kind of like doom and gloom of that first few months of just really not understanding what coronavirus was and everything it entailed. And, you know, it really was just a hard season for lots of people, me personally included. And my wife started a new job in April around that time. And so for me, a lot of the pandemic was just little kids and running around trying to keep them entertained, trying not to feel guilty about letting them watch so much TV, but also trying to get outside. And, you know, it was just a lot of just parenthood and also trying to balance, you know, still working online, how we have been doing it. And so, yeah, just managing that, I need a weekly structure. So I'm kind of glad that things are starting to open back up and get to some sort of system for me to hopefully thrive in.
Because it's like the whole thing, like just when you're trying to do something, you know, a lot of our job is not just task oriented, it's like creative. So you got to like be doing something creative. Well, if you're like 3-year-old is over there just like, more snacks, I want more snacks. And you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to think about this right now. It's that can be a challenge.
Yeah, there were, I don't want to put too much of a negative spin on it. I learned a lot about just what it means to love and sacrifice my time for my kids during this time and really find joy in that. And truth be told, it's been awesome. And I'm so grateful for the time that I've had with my girls. And I am glad that we're sort of, you know, moving in a positive direction in terms of like opening things back up and getting back into a structured way of living.
So how do your roles change? And I want to put those almost in two different categories. So there's like the more, let's call it the more public part of your role that people assume that that's really all that you do is you just sing on Sunday. And that's like, what else do you do during the week? And then there's the behind the scenes. And so I would imagine both of those changed a lot during the last 7 months. So talk about that.
So when we initially went online, we had a few different routes we ran down as far as what we were going to do in terms of music and getting music ready for the online service. And so I think we tried a few different things in terms of just recording a huge batch of songs, thinking like, well, we may not be able to get back up here in the next couple of weeks. So we may as well just like record as much as we can. And like 1 or 2 days, I think it was actually just 1 day we recorded like something like 13.
I was like 13 songs, which of course all those became completely unusable because we were all standing like 2 feet from each other.
Yeah.
So then we can't air that later.
Right. A lot of it was just kind of trying to forecast what honestly the next few months were going to be early on. But as time went on, you know, we were able to kind of be like, well, you know, we have some ideas for some, you know, creative projects we should, you know, attempt at. And now that we're going to continue online, we still want to keep, you know, like this creative. What has happened is just like, it's allowed us to, that was a creative, online service was kind of a creative catalyst for us to think kind of outside the box in terms of just special projects that we want to do versus, you know, in-person Sundays. A lot of it is, you know, that's a lot of just programming together as a team and, you know, coordinating volunteers and stuff like that. So Eric can speak to more.
Well, it's like, if you think about, okay, let's say that, you know, our campuses were all Starbucks and we were all baristas, like head baristas at those different Starbucks. Well, we were down to like one drive-through for 7 months, but we're all still baristas. So it was like, we put all the baristas in one spot for 7 months and it was like, okay, what are we going to do? So we got creative about a lot of those kind of different things. And so, whereas normally I would say a lot of our energy goes into managing our Sundays as far as like our volunteers, like what you said, all the stuff that people see. I mean, have you ever had anybody walk up to you and be like, so what do? Do you just like chill at home, or your real job? Do you like just tune your guitar all week if you're not on stage? Like they think you just roll in on Sunday and just play guitar.
Yeah, I mean, I get that too though.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you just open up your Bible on Sunday and just like, say what
you
should.
I mean, you probably have to like prepare something, but like, you know, what do you do with the rest of the time? That doesn't take that long, does it? So,
yeah. And so, you know, with all of our powers combined, it was that did change like a lot of our role. And so it did free up a lot of creative resources, I guess, mm-hmm. in some ways. And
yeah, and we all have different kind of technical skills that I think were really enhanced through this time. Like,
yeah.
You know, Eric is a huge part of what we do video-wise and planning all of that stuff. And there's a ton of planning that goes into that. Whereas I can, you know, I lean more towards the audio side of things and helping, you know, get that smoothed out however we can. And just, you know, a lot of those technical things that we still do for Sundays just were kind of amplified during the time that we were just online.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's why it's great having this really diverse team of all these people who are gifted and skilled in so many different ways. What did you miss about Sundays? Going from in person and seeing people to now online, and what it was like to record those songs to an empty auditorium, but yet you're still trying to lead a virtual online audience who's not there physically with you.
Yeah, that's one thing that, like, again, it was a little bit of trial and error. You know, it's like you're saying, we tried to record some stuff ahead of time, and then it was like, you don't think about, we were always trying to think, okay, end user being like our people, and they're just sitting in their living room, or they're in their on their porch, or they're just, you know, wherever they are looking at their phone. Like, what does it look like for them to engage in worship? Because on a Sunday, like if you're in the audience, I'm not looking straight at you going, all right, let's sing. But it's like, and so we're all like, well, we're just going to kind of look out and, yeah, but having to do things like, okay, evaluating. Do when we're leading a song, do we like look at the camera like we're a news broadcaster, or do we just kind of like look at, you know, we until that moment comes, you don't think about something like that, you know? And so I think for us as a staff as a whole, we had to try to figure out some of that stuff. But yeah, that was a big part of it, is going, okay, we're doing something spiritual here though. Like, it's not technical. It is technical in all the aspects of, like, the cameras had to be right and the volume had to be right and we had to play the songs correctly. But leading to an empty room of just chairs just for a long time just felt like rehearsal. And I think that we sensed that in the way it was coming off online, it felt like a filmed rehearsal a lot of times. And so for us trying to even spiritually adjust to how we lead an empty space, knowing that there's, you know, an end user on the other end, that we are leading them in a time of worship, was, I think we got better at it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we really ever arrived, or I don't know if that's possible to arrive at that. That was a big aspect of it.
Yeah, you know, me personally, the adjustment was difficult in that, you know, there's a lot of, say, you know, you mess up a word or something and, you know, you're more anxious about that than you would normally be, you know, live in front of people. And mm-hmm. and there's a lot of, you know, sometimes some starting and stopping in places where you're like, why did we stop here? And you're like, oh, I guess I messed up, you know, so bad, and we have to rewind, and now we have to do this whole moment over again. But yeah, I think it is weird to, you know, to get feedback of like, hey, you're not looking in the camera, and this is gonna look weird. You need to look in the camera more, and to kind of balance that out with the idea that, like, I genuinely want to worship in this time, and I want that. That was just my prayer. I think I'd pull up here and I'd just be in the car and I would start feeling anxious about, you know, whatever we were doing that morning. And I would just pray and just be like, God, please just quell my anxiety. I want to worship you fully in these moments. And I don't want it to feel like canned and cheesy and inauthentic. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. And I hope that's not what came across, but it's really hard to make a connection with the camera versus your brothers and sisters in Christ, you know. And so that is something that you know, I've really missed.
I don't know if you guys have ever seen that Cameron Crowe movie, Almost Famous. You ever seen that one?
Absolutely. Yeah.
One of the best. If you haven't seen that, yeah, it's that with hit pause right now. If you haven't watched that movie, I can't actually say that.
I know which one it is. Kate Hudson? Is that
Kate Hudson? Yes, yeah. Anyway, one of the parts on there, because there's the lead singer of the band that's always just like, they're like, he's so phony, you know, but he's always like, he's like, yeah, man, I like to find that one person in the audience and I like to just make eye contact with them and just make sure that they're getting it. You know, like they really understand that I'm connecting with them, and it's all about the audience and all about the crowd. And like, I just think about like, on Sundays, you really do that. You really do like mm-hmm. find people in the audience, like you see their faces. And that's how you, for us as worship leaders, we lead based off the faces of the people in the audience. And so I think that, God, you know, it's that real-time feedback that helps you engage them in a way that kind of meets the moment, you know? And so not being able to do that, I think that's the biggest thing. Like, even though we're going to get 50% of their face coming back, that's okay. Yeah. I'll take 50% of their face over 0% of their face, and you can just lead in that moment. It just changes. It's a totally different animal.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing, is like, you can feel it. It can feel phony, and that's a terrible, like, that's like a gross feeling, you know. But I think you're right, and that is just something you need to continue reminding yourself. There is where this is not, because it's not phony, because there is someone on the other side of this camera who is, we want to fully engage in worship and the truth of what we're saying or what we're singing. And so that is like keeping that in the forefront of your mind will help. It has definitely helped me quell a lot of anxiety that I've had just being on stage in an empty room looking into a lens.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense. That when someone's not there, you have to do a little bit more mental work to Absolutely. Remind yourself that someone actually is there yeah. whenever, yeah. you know. So
I already have to do a lot of mental work yeah. in preparation for being on a stage with people in person. So just, you know, it's more enhanced in an online setting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we're in this season where we have in-person worship services, and we're continuing to lead people to engage in an online worship service as well. And you know what that percentage of people who are in line or in person versus online is, you know, it remains to be seen what that really shakes right. out to. But like, it's about half and half, probably. So, what's it like for you in your role now that you're doing both of those things, to be in person again, but then also still doing what you were doing for the last 7 months online?
I think that this now is my most anxious moment of the whole thing, because we've gotten to do some things over the last 7 months that I think I have had the ambition to want to do for years. I mean, but again, like when we all have like a lot on our plate at our individual campuses, and then even our central support roles, we have a lot going on. It's hard to just pull the trigger on some of these creative things that we want to do. And we've gotten to do a lot of those things over the past 7 months. You know, well, we got to record some songs individually, like at our houses, and shoot videos in ways that are super different. And so being able to do some of that stuff, that checks all my boxes. I'm like, oh yeah, let's do more of that stuff. And it's kind of one of those, I don't even care if anyone watches it. I'm just glad we did it. You know, it's like, so I think that that's been my greatest fear, is going, okay, we expanded our like reach a little bit and what we can do and what we can accomplish as a team and as a church. I have a fear of just backpedaling, but you know, like going, okay, Sunday's coming. Everything else is now just push pause on everything else. And we're just going to roll back to that. And so my hope is that as we're getting into this next phase, that we can kind of continue to embrace that larger palette of some of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I know we've talked about is really trying to harness the differences in the media of in-person versus online. So online is a specific you know, kind of medium that we need to speak into. And, you know, as we move into a more of a sense of normalcy to where those who are online are choosing to be online because they just prefer it that way and not because of, you know, just some, you know, personal safety and COVID and all those things. So what, I guess, what kind of plans do y'all have in place to continue on with that kind of creativity to really address that specific online medium?
It's a great question.
It is in flux right now.
And you don't have to give me specific plans, but I mean, what is your hope for what that's going to look like going forward?
Yeah, I think we're just more encouraged to lean into, you know, embracing more on our plates is really what it comes down to. And just accepting, you know, the fact that it's going to require more of us to continue to create some cool stuff that people can engage with and hopefully points them to Christ. And so that's kind of the end goal for any like special project that we do. And so I think just right now, as it, we're still just kind of in the flux of getting back. But I think most of us have stacked hands on just like, man, this was a really cool season and seeing how much we can do. So we're going to continue to just like ask God to help us as we just kind of take more stuff on our plate and just kind of lean on one another. And we have an awesome team. It's just, it's not just me and Eric, obviously. So, so yeah, I think we're just, we're lucky in that we have this group of people right now. And so push on the gas pedal a little bit and just, you know,
I think
pray that the Lord will use it.
A great example of something we've learned that is, so the week that we were talking about in the Sticky series, talking about marital conflict, because we're kind of split into different programming teams, and that's just like a team that comes around a teacher and we start to look at what a day is going to look like. You know, their team had the idea of this song. And I think Tanner had the beginnings of a song, and really you and Tanner got together, hashed out this tune, like in a day or so, a day and a half. Y'all really,
yeah, it was
like
a couple days.
Finished the song, and then in about a less than 48-hour period, completely recorded the song. Like, you know, okay, we know a drummer. We're going to send this up to him. He did it. Sent this back to us. Boom, 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 and you know, Ted and I started to get together on some visual stuff like that. And so really, I think within like a 48-hour period or so.
Or so.
I mean, there's this like finished piece of that was super cool. I mean, I'm like, we would have never done this if we'd just in regular services, just because we don't need to. You know, but now having this as an outlet, knowing that this is things that people are engaging with online media in ways that we have never seen before. And I think our church as a whole didn't really have an online presence because we were just so comfortable in being together. So now it's like we've created this other world that allows our people to have things in their hand. You know, that's one thing I see us doing. We're creating things that our people, like our church, like our members and attenders can have in their hand that they can then, you know, if we're a church for the unchurched, they can go, here's a thing that I can just easily digitally share you. And it's not a full service or full sermon or full anything. It's just like, here's this one nugget that I can share with you. And then people go, oh, that's your church. And you know, it's just, to me, that's the win for us. If we walk away from this season going, we want to create more moments that people can then share to get an unchurched person to engage with the gospel. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you talked about a couple different projects that you guys have worked on over the last 7 months. And we've seen those, you know, show up in the online services, whether the music videos or new songs that you guys are writing. And they've all been fantastic. One of the projects y'all have worked on is an EP album called True Love. And so I want to talk about that for a good chunk of our time here. So tell me about that album. What's the story behind it? What led y'all to come up with it? Why the name? All that.
I think so True Love, the actual song, has been around since, I guess, the first camp that I went to back in, was it 2018?
Yeah, probably 18. Yeah, 18.
Yeah. So we've had this song that was, we specifically wrote it to take to camp and use at camp. And
we've only like sung it in front of students and children, right? Like, have we ever done that on a Sunday in front of adult service?
No, we haven't.
Yeah. But I feel like Eric's probably more qualified to talk about the EP as a whole, but I feel like True Love was the song that kind of like started the whole idea for the project.
Yeah. We actually sat like in the room right adjacent to here. I remember you had your guitar and you were like, okay, check this out. And you're like, ding, 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 ding. I was like, oh yeah, that's super cool. You know, yeah. So we just started kind of working off of a guitar lick.
Right. So the idea, I mean, we were just like, we want some, you know, original songs to take to camp that like kids are going to engage with. And so I think we were kind of cruising around here, listening to that band, the 1975, and just trying to like get inspiration from that. And, you know, just kind of like get that feel on this kind of music. So,
cause there was another song we also took to camp that year that died on the vine, but that's how it is. You know, like you're going to throw things out and see what our students latch onto. And like, they really just like latched onto this song.
Yeah. And it was really cool. The response to it was kind of like, oh wow, this is really cool that they have, you know, liked the song. So maybe we should do some more of that.
And so the hope always, I would say even from that summer, we ended that summer with, okay, well, let's go and we're going to go record that, get it out to all of our students. And so I ended up doing that song then at kids camp, because I went to kids camp. And you know, so we were like, okay, all of our age graded kids now have engaged in the song. Let's go record it and we'll move on from there. That was 2018. So again, like Sunday's coming kind of stuff. And we were not adept at like, how do we get that done? And it just kind of kept getting back burner.
Well, yeah. In the meantime, we recorded another project.
Yeah. We recorded a whole other album, you know, for the whole, we recorded Ties for the church and, I think whenever we're writing these, so when we're just writing songs for our church, I think that we're thinking about, I don't know, we talked about this on the last one, we talked about songwriting on that one podcast. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm actually envisioning faces of people in our church. When we're writing songs aimed at our students, I'm thinking of like face of our students. And I'm thinking about like everything about youth culture, everything that they're going through. I mean, I'm not a student at all, but nothing has changed about the general things and the pressures that are facing students. What it looks like, and maybe the medium of it has changed, but the actual struggles, it's the same stuff. And so I actually, you know, it's funny, I was sitting there this morning and we had just done some stuff in our backyard on our porch, and like my Bible's usually sitting where I sit in the mornings and drink my coffee. Gosh, that sounds like I'm a 90-year-old man. I'm sitting and I drink my coffee in the morning and have a cigarette and I read my Bible. But my Bible was missing. So this morning I actually went and grabbed the Bible that I had when I was like, my grandma gave me like when I was, you know, in high school. And so I was actually thumbing through it this morning and looking at, and I had things that are underlined and stuff like that. And like, it just takes me back to that moment of the things that I was going through, when I was that age. And I think about like students that I know, and you know, my own, I have a couple of students myself, and like just knowing like they're still going through the same stuff. And so I think for us, when we're writing songs like True Love or Miss This or Jesus I Come, like we're leaning more toward knowing stage of life. This is the kind of stuff like about identity and lordship, and just like anxiety and performance and things like that. Like that's what those songs are really aimed at. You know, it's the, let's put words in their mouth that are gospel, but that are maybe tenored a little more angled toward who they are.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what we were after in that.
All right. So what made you want to finally say, all right, summer of 2020, we're going to record this and make this an official album?
Eric was the main driver behind it, because he, I mean, basically since we've written True Love, he has been like, we have got to get this recorded and get it out. And finally, I think over the summer, it was just like, okay, I think we've got like the bandwidth to really do that. And plus we had written Miss This and Jesus yeah. I Come as well. So it was like, well, there it is, you know, like.
Yeah, we've got enough. Just,
uh-huh. Were those song, all three of those songs, were y'all planning on playing those at camp this summer?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts a little just thinking about it.
Yeah.
This is the first summer in 25 years that I've not either been a student at a camp or led worship at a student camp. So it's weird to think about. You know, I think that what happened, like sometimes if we leave our back door open, I think our cat's just waiting for the chance to run out. I think that this summer, everyone's a little distracted and the door's open. And so I ran out. And so that was like, dude, we're doing this album right now. You know, it's like, I saw the opportunity and like, we just kind of like, I just started running it, getting it done. And because everybody wants to, but it was just like, okay, I'm going to start running and I'll let you guys know when I need you for this thing. And so then everybody jumped in and kind of got their parts done. And so we kind of finally got it landed. And so Miss This was actually a song that we wrote for Mixed Weekend this last February and got that done. Jesus I Come is a song that Tanner brought to us. And then JJ and I sat down with him and kind of got that landed probably around that same time, February.
It was January or February of this year.
And that's so really, Miss This is a song that's like a holy FOMO song. It's like, I don't want to miss what God has for me. Like, there's a lot of other things begging for my attention, but you know, let's have a fear of missing out on the holiness of what God wants to do in your life in this stage of your life. And then Jesus I Come is a song that's really, it's about performance. It's about feeling like you are, in the moments where you feel like so much is asked of you and like you're going to go up and you can either go up with the confidence of who God has made you to be and, you know, walk in your faith with Christ, you know, in the shadow of Christ, basically, or you can try to go up and do it on your own. You can fill your tank with your own gas and see how far you get. And so it's like, because it essentially comes down to the bridge. It says, you know, be still and know that I'm God. So it's really about repenting of doing things under your own power and your own strength and leaning on Christ for that. So again, that's a very pertinent message to put in the mouths of students and children, honestly, for them to, from an early age, to be able to wrap their minds around not building a life where they do things on their own strength, but from early on going, because of Christ, that's where I could do it. So,
yeah. Well, I know not having Creek Kids Camp or student ministry camp this summer, I know it was helpful for them to even have an album that you guys could say, hey, I know we couldn't have camp, but here's some music that we've created especially for you. What's been the response from students and children that you've heard so far?
It just takes a while for things to kind of trickle out, honestly. But it's been, I think it's, they've had a good response of like, oh, thanks. Like, you know, kind of like when I give my kids something and they're like, yeah, I asked for this like a long time ago. Thank you.
Yeah.
So no, but I think it's been, I think people are starting to engage in it and it's cool to see, how do students say thank you? They share something online.
Yeah.
So when it gets shared, I'm like, that means a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep sharing it.
Keep sharing it, guys.
That's awesome. So, Eric, you do some rapping on this. Oh. Tell us about that.
Yeah.
I was going to say something if you did that.
So let's have it out right now. Yeah. I think JJ's like, oh God, would Eric please start rapping on things?
No, I love it.
Oh gosh. Well, I think I'm going to have JJ rap on the next album. No. Well, that was funny because we wrote True Love. I think it was like the end of the day. We felt like, yeah, this song's done. And then I was like, there's this instrumental section. It was the end of the day, like at work, and I was like, I had come over here to the studio, and I was like, had this idea. I was like, dude, this would be a great spot for like a rap section, but that's a stupid idea, by the way. And I came over here, like recorded it, and then like everyone's about to leave for work, and I email it to everybody, like a little demo of it. And I'm like, hey guys, I just sent y'all something. Just check it out. You know, I was just kind of goofing around, you know, and, you know, being, I don't get like insecure about a lot of things, but I would say that was a moment I was like,
really
feeling like, oh gosh, this might be the dumbest thing that's ever happened.
I felt insecure about it.
Well, my little insecure. Okay, so it was funny. So then everybody's like, oh, we should do this at camp. And I was like, I don't know. So then we get to camp and we do the song, and we don't do this rap section in there. We just kind of do the song. The kids are starting to learn the song. So I think we'd done it a couple of times. And then that's like the last day of camp, or last time we're going to do it at camp. And it gets to this musical break, and like I just step up and I just start doing this rap. And I'm like, oh, I'm definitely more than sending it to them, doing it in front of 500 teenagers. I was like,
at your age,
holy,
yeah.
At my age. Yes. You know, this is, I'm ripe on the vine to be a rapper right now.
Yeah.
Just put out a new rap album last week. So, but it was funny because my daughter's there. She was 12 at the time, and no, she was 11. And so it's her first year at camp. As a girl, you could not be more dad, don't embarrass me. And so they're standing on their chairs and they're singing along with their hands in the air, and they're singing along to the song. And her leader said that right when I step up and start rapping, she just turns her head to the right and looks, and that my daughter kind of like, she kind of crouches a little bit like this, and she starts looking around. And she's like, okay, everybody's into this. Okay, I'm into it too. I was like, man, if people didn't like it and she totally like sold me out, I wouldn't blame her at all. I'd be like, I would sell me out too. That's totally fine. But it went over well, and you know, kind of became a part of that song. And now, you know, we just got that rap game flowing around here.
Yeah.
We're always like, I got a whole rap album out now. It just kind of came out. It's a very 90s throwback thing. I never thought
I would sing on a song where there would also be rap on it as well, because I don't know anything about rap music at all. And so I hear it and I'm like, oh, well, I hope that the kids are, you know, again, this is not music for me. And again, it's probably not what I would, it's not something like I totally connect to at all, but I'm as far as like the response that we got from kids when he did that. And to be completely honest with you, I was curious about what that was going to be like too. I was also kind of like your daughter, but the response was really positive. And again, I think you just go like, okay, you know what? That was really cool. And I want kids to engage with this music, because the message of this song is really, I think, super. I love the message of this song. It's and it's probably my favorite song that we've written, to be quite honest. And so whatever is going to help kids connect with that, then I'm game for.
You're game.
You know?
What kind of game? Are you going to do some rap yourself, or?
Absolutely not. I don't think I. No, I couldn't do that.
I could give it a shot.
Yeah. All right. So, how can people listen to this? We have an exclusive offer for podcast listeners, right? Where they can get this for free,
yeah.
Right?
Just go and start streaming it. Well, that's the thing. It's everywhere, really. If you just go look at Clear Creek Community Church, it's just kind of under the name of the church. So if you go to YouTube, it's on there, Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Music, anywhere music is streamed or sold. Awesome. It's all there.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. What do y'all have coming up? Any other projects that you want to reveal, or are they all like under wraps right now?
I think we are shooting for some kind of Christmas release.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go
no
further.
And,
yeah, no more spoilers other than that. But last year, before the Christmas season, we were able to put together some arrangements that I think were really, really special. And so I don't want to say, you know, how many tunes there are going to be, because we want to be realistic about the time frame between now and Christmas. But I think that's the idea for right now. So
yeah.
Any rap on that one? Or?
No.
Like, although Christmas, like a little Christmas like, yeah, and like Hollis or something.
Paper or something.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Oh, wrapping paper. It's a rap about wrapping paper. Oh, there is a "God Rest You Merry Gentlemen" rap I wrote last year. Oh, it was really good. We never did it. No, there's not. There's not gonna be any rap on this because it's for the. It's for the adults. It's for all people. Oh man. Yeah, but I think that we are definitely that's the next thing coming. I think that we have something we also are aspiring to do is record like the song about marriage that we did. We've got a couple other songs already that are about that are based around some of the stories that our story team's done. And we'd like to in this next 6 to 9 months be running it, getting some of those recorded so that I think one of those powerful things, obviously, you see the greatest response from people when they hear the story of someone coming to faith or what God's done in someone's life. And so we believe music is a huge connecting engine. So putting those two things together, I think, can be really powerful. And so we're going to kind of run it, some of those as well. There's a couple of songs that we really like that we've done that we want to kind of immortalize and getting them actually finished. Mm-hmm. Again, that's one of those things where like, we got to get this done. And it's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, time to grab it off
when
the
back burner.
When are we going
to start? So I got to wait for the door to open.
Yeah.
And this cat's running.
Okay. Well, that's what's encouraging about this past 7 months, just realizing how quickly we can like turn stuff around. And if we're, you know, committed to getting it done. And yeah. I am... So on the spectrum of like perfectionism to just throw it out there, I think we have a good balance on our team of like, you know, creating some really quality things. And so that was an encouraging part about this is like, let's go for it.
Let's just say thank God JJ's on the team because JJ's more on the perfection end. And I'm on the I recorded this on my phone and I'm going to release it on iTunes today. So... And then everyone else falls between me and JJ. Yeah, so it's good. Probably. It's helpful.
So yeah, who else was involved in a lot of this writing, recording, producing of this album or a lot of the stuff you guys do?
It's really, I mean, the whole team's involved on some level on a lot of the writing. You're not going to say everyone's got strengths that come to the table. No one of us is doing any of this without everybody. I'm not bragging on JJ just because he's here, but I'd say for me personally, everything that I have put out musically in the past 15 years has had JJ's fingerprints on it. And so that's a big part of just like he has a production ear that is really big. And that's why I'm really thankful that, you know, he's joking about it. He can be too perfectionistic. No, like he has an ear for that kind of thing that can like take kind of polish up something that no one should ever hear and make it into something that is awesome. But so he definitely has that gift to make things really shine and just can write anything. And
oh, thank you, man. Well, it's
well. I'm not just saying because you're here. I for real, it's crazy. Yeah. I think it's our whole team.
Courtney, she wrote a lot of "Miss This," mm-hmm. and she's singing on that one. Tanner is singing on "Jesus, I Come." That was his, you know, that was pretty much his tune that he came to the table with, and we mm-hmm. just kind of like, I think we all kind of collaborated. You know, you bring an idea to the table, and you kind of like, you know. My idea for everything is like, okay, how do we enhance its strengths and how do we diminish its weaknesses? And so that's basically kind of like what we all do as a team and try to kind of like break down something and then rebuild it. And so we all kind of had a hand in this one. So it's been really cool.
Awesome. All right. So I want to go back to where we started with this as we wrap up. What do you hope that we as a church have learned from this long 7 month season that is still in a lot of ways continuing on from here.
Yeah.
But what do you hope that we've learned about not being able to sing together in worship in person?
I hope that I was just struck this morning. I was reading my Bible, James one to count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. And I would say that this time has been a trial. I don't like, you know, obviously want to compare, you know, wearing a mask in public to what the early church was dealing with in terms of their trials. But I'm grateful that James said various trials, because I think this has been a trial for us. And so my prayer for our church, for me, as we kind of like go back to in-person services, and we're still, you know, obviously going to be wearing masks, and it's going to be different. There's going to be kids in the room, and there's, you know, we were setting up stuff at East 96 the other day, and it was easy to get in my brain like, oh man, this is going to be really different. But I want to count it joy, and I want to be a joyful worshiper when I show up with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's my prayer for our church, is that we would just show up ready to rejoice and to just count this time as joy and not really as a struggle at all. But just to be encouraged together as we do that.
The one thing I said, we had rehearsal last night, you know, and even for rehearsal, it's weird. We're standing around the band, we're like a football field away from each other, and we got our masks on. And one thing I reminded them of last night, I was like, my prayer for all of us as the church, as we come back together, is that coming together as a church isn't about me at all anyway. I can be a Christian, and my faith lives, you know, as far as myself is living on this 24/7. But whenever we gather as a church, it's about what God is doing in us collectively. And so my personal preferences shouldn't even be in the room, you know? And so I'm hoping that our people can latch onto that. And that even when it comes down to just singing together and stuff like that, that's just what's at the forefront of people's minds, you know? We can't manufacture that, you know? And I think singing together is probably a muscle people haven't used in over this time, really, at all, unless you're just totally wired to do that. But even like, I mean, this is my kids and family more watched the singing during church than sang along, you know, because also it's a little weird when dad's on screen singing and I'm in the room singing. They're just like, oh, what's going on right now? But, you know, I think it's just an overall, it's something that we as a team really leaned into, our people engaging in worship and gay, because I think it's so powerful what it means to the unbeliever that comes in the room. But, you know, I think that it's going to be an odd new season as we kind of just, as people keep engaging again. So we'll see.
Yep. I think so. That's good. All right, guys. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's awesome.
Love hearing about your new project, True Love. For those of you who are listening, thanks for checking out the Clear Creek Resources podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen so you don't miss any of our weekly episodes. Also, make sure that you go and find the True Love album on all the different places that you listen to music. Also, we will put a link to different places on the description of this episode at clearcreekresources.org, where you can also check out our other content like articles, videos, books, and sermons. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening. I'm Ryan Layton, and we'll see you next time.